Hallelujah. Praise God. This morning I want to share with you what I have titled, Open Heaven. You know, I've changed the topic for this sermon several times. I finally arrived at and concluded at Open Heaven. Father, we pray this afternoon as we hear your word. We thank you that you have opened heaven over us permanently. The challenge with us is how to open our earth for heaven to break in. For how to open our situations for heaven to break in. For how to open our lives for heaven to come in. Jesus, you said, "Behold, I stand at the door of your heart and knock. If any will open, I will come in and dwell with them. My Father and I will come in and dwell with them, and we will have dinner with them." That's your promise. Today we pray that you help us to learn how to open our lives to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. You know, a lot of the time we talk about open heaven. We say, "Lord, open the heaven over us." And we pray, and we pray, and we pray. We do that a lot, don't we? But yet the scripture tells us that heaven is open over us already. You know, when Jesus died, the Bible tells us that the curtains were cut open. And the temple curtain was cut open. So there was an openness from heaven. And the truth is, when Jesus came, the Bible tells us he came to open heaven over us. If you see 1 John, the book of John chapter 1 tells us that he brought heaven, he opened heaven. When he died, he opened heaven. Heaven that was shut over us was open. So with Jesus' job, he brought the kingdom down. That's why the Bible says, he said, "The kingdom of God is near you." He opened heaven and the kingdom came through him. So for everyone, for we can come to God now because heaven is open. We can come to God now because God brought the kingdom in. We can come to God now through Jesus Christ. He made the sacrifice and made it possible. It's not that we went to God, but God came to us. That's open heaven. We didn't have to break in to reach heaven. He came down in form as a man and went to the cross and died for us. So God came down amongst us to dwell amongst us. And then when he went back to heaven, the Holy Spirit came to dwell in our hearts. So as far as heaven is concerned, heaven is on earth here already. He cannot be in our heart if he's not here, if heaven wasn't open. But the problem is, even though there is open heaven over us, the earth is not open to God. That's our job to do, to open the place where we are to God, to open our heart to God, to open our situations to God, to invite God into what we are doing, to invite God into the challenges, because most of the time we do these things ourselves. As humans, we tend to try to take over and make it happen. You know, we want to make it happen. And sometimes the things that God will speak to us to do might be too simple to do, so we ignore it. Sometimes we are looking for bigger revelations, something that sounds supernatural, that sounds spiritual. Whereas some of the things that we need to do to open our door to God. Can somebody get a new battery for me, please? It's in there. To open our heart to God. Son, it's in that black box. New battery. Some of the things that we might need to do to open our heart to God. Might just be something simple. Not as spiritual as we think.
When God wants to do something on earth, He usually does use earthly things, physical things, things that we can touch, things that we can handle. In Acts chapter 16, verse 16 to 34, I want us to look into that scripture, and from there I want to explain some things today. Acts chapter 16, from verse 16. Are we there? Praise God. Yeah, that's better. You see what happens when something is not just quite right? It starts to upset the balance. A weak battery started to make it so difficult to work. But when you just know what to do, something as simple as changing the battery can resolve the problem. Praise God. And as we were on our way to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl. Let somebody read it for us, please. I want to, not Jeff this time. Jeff reads beautifully. I want another person. Anybody? Any volunteer? Going. Yeah.
As we were on our way to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who was possessed by a spirit of divination. Once when we were going to a place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God, who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so troubled that he turned around and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the spirit left her. When the owners of the slave girl realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in and attacked against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them very carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners was listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundation of the prison was shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself, we're all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?"
Thank you very much, Madeline. Today I want to touch on sacrifice of praise, but a few things before. You know, I was saying that heaven is open over us, but the problem is, are we open to heaven? And in the scripture, when Jesus came, when he said the kingdom of heaven is within us, he taught us some things that opens heaven, that opens us to heaven. One of them is praise. It's worship. Some of the things that open heaven to over that opens us to heaven is prayer. When we pray, we make contact with heaven. Jesus said, if you ask, you will receive. If you seek, you will find. If you knock, it will be open to you. And that kind of response is from heaven. See, when you pray, who do we pray to? Our Father, who is in where? So for our Father to hear in heaven, then earth must be open to him. So prayer opens our life to heaven. And if you look at some of the scriptures, some of the things that we've been studying, we're studying the gift of the Spirit. Every time you use the gift of the Spirit, you are opening your situation or your life to heaven, or you are opening that time to heaven. When we speak in tongues, for example, you are opening your life to heaven to breakthrough. When we prophesy, because we only receive it from heaven, isn't it? We receive it from God. When we interpret tongues, when we are using the gift of healing, gift of miracle, gift of faith, all these things are done by heaven. There is no office here on earth that operates the power of heaven. It's only operates from heaven. So every time we step into those areas, heaven is breaking in. You know, as for example, some of the scriptures we will learn in Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall obtain, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, isn't it? So he's talking about when you are a peacemaker, when you operate in the beatitude, it's a door that opens your life to heaven. That's why I keep saying blessed. Heaven's blessing, the blessedness, the extreme, supreme blessing of heaven. So these are things that opens our hearts to heaven. But today we'll be touching on some of those things in the next few weeks and months, as to simple ways of stepping into this supernatural way of living, this kingdom kind of lifestyle. What are the practical things that we need to do? A lot of these things are simple things, and many of them, we have this gift, but we don't use them because we don't understand that they are doors that open our hearts and our lives and our situations and our families for heaven to break in. Today, I want to touch on praise. All of us can sing. You can't sing. I didn't say all of us can sing good. All of us can sing. And let me just encourage you there, Josephine. I believe... have you seen some of these musicians actually sing live? Many of them are not very good as the sounds on their CDs, because they've used equipment and instruments to enhance their voice when they sing. And I also believe that when we sing, there is a synthesizer in God's ears that make our voice come out beautifully to be the best that it can ever be. When God hears your voice, it's the best voice he's ever heard. Doesn't matter what you think about your voice or what other people think about your voice, it's what God thinks about your voice. So when you sing, the Bible says he inhabits the praise of his people. He dwells. God, your praise attracts God's presence. Praise is one of the ways that we invite heaven. The story we just heard here, Paul and Silas, they were in the prison. They were put there because Paul delivered this slave girl that had the spirit of divination. She was foretelling futures about people. And you see, have you seen some of these travelers where they put things and they say they tell things about you? They tell the future. She was one of them. People were paying to come and hear prophecies, to come and hear things about their future. And so she was a slave to this man who was her master. And so her master became rich because she was one who was able to tell the future. And this girl kept saying, days after days, these are the servants of God, blah, blah, blah. And Paul just suddenly got annoyed and cast the demon out. You think we'll be celebrating, but when he cast the demon out, what it meant was that he had closed the avenue or the door to which the master made money. That made him angry. So he stirred up the city and they made lies against him. These men had come to cause confusion. Bible said they took him to the leader, and this was, they instructed them to beat him. Some translations say to beat them with rods, with heavy sticks. So by the time they took Paul and Silas to the prison, they were barely able to walk. They were in severe pain. If we read further, you'll find out that it was the Spirit of God that told them to go over to Macedonia. Paul said he was in a dream, in a vision, and there was a man saying, Paul, come over to Macedonia. And this place where they went was a district of Macedonia. And where God wanted them to be was where they got beaten. Sometimes when things like this happen to us, we think it's, you know, we are in the wrong place. It's something that we've done. Maybe we should have listened to God. Paul and Silas were going into a particular city, I think it was Troas or somewhere, and the Bible says that Paul said, God restrain us from entering those cities. God stopped them. But there was an invitation to come over to Macedonia, and when they went there and they preached the gospel, people saved their lives, and then yet they were beaten. How many times have you done what you think God has called you to do, and things start to go wrong? And sometimes we take things going wrong as it's not the will of God for me. See, when we step out with God, it's not never going to be problem-free. I want you to understand this. When we are talking about the kingdom of God, if we're talking of kingdom, then there's a kingdom of light, and there's a kingdom of darkness. There's a kingdom of truth, there's a kingdom of lies. If there's a kingdom of God, there's also the kingdom of the devil. So whenever you step out to do God's will in the name of his kingdom, just be aware that what you are doing is stepping into the territory of another kingdom to extend God's rule and reign to that area. Whoever is in charge of that territory, we want to resist and fight back. Isn't that normal? If somebody come to your house, want to break in and take over your house, will you just say, come in and take over? You fight. So when we are stepping out with God and we are saying we are preaching the gospel of the kingdom, we are entering a territory that's been occupied by the devil. So the devil will resist it vehemently. So don't take resistance as something that confirms that it's not the will of God. People will say if it's God's will, it will go well. If it's God's will and you step out with God, God will complete it. But as for you saying you will not encounter difficulties and challenges, no. The Bible says, Jesus was saying that, it said, in me you will suffer what? Persecution. It said, but be of good cheer because I have what? Overcome the world. The only guarantee we have is that we overcome. When you step into a territory, you have to fight. The enemy will come and resist. You take your ground. Once you've taken your ground, you extend the rule and reign of God to that area. You see, there's a friend of mine that I used to speak with regularly. And by time, she said, every time I've gone to a conference or we have a discussion together, I want to step out. Or I've had your sermon, I try to step out. I said, but every time I step out, the enemy fights me very harsh. And so because the enemy fights me, I have stopped stepping out. I just want to remain where I am so that I will not be attacked. But the truth is, in life, how many of you would just want to have a baby and then the baby remains a baby for the rest of his or her life? Just be carried about, suck breast, wipe their bum,
give them food to eat, and then they become 5, and they become 10, and they become 15, and 20, and 30, and you are still wiping bum. How many of you will be happy to do that? Josephine. You see, when a 30-year-old man starts to live as a child because you are protecting them, would they ever fulfill their destiny? Would they fulfill their purpose? What do we do from the very day we born them? We train them how to become independent, how to stand on their own, how to survive this challenging world, isn't it? We educate them, we tell them what to do, tell them how to face resistance. The first time they face disappointment, we encourage them and say, we don't lock them in and say, you never go out again so that you never be disappointed. What do? We build them up and say, this is part of life. You need to learn how to survive in this world. That's what we teach them. So in the same way, God in his kingdom is teaching us, exposing us to these challenges and teaching us how to be victorious. You cannot be victorious without a battle. If you are not in a battleground, how can you claim victory? So you will fight battles. You will face challenges. The devil will rise up against you, but you will learn to tell him you have been defeated. And the way you do that is to go through these challenges that he will throw at you, and God enabling you and opening your understanding until you are able to stand on your feet and say, I am more than a conqueror. One of the ways, Paul, they were beaten, they were wounded, and their feet was locked, chained against the stock there. And the Bible said, at the middle of the night, they started to pray. These are things that open heaven, that opened us to heaven. Prayer. The second one, they started to praise God, the Bible said. I don't know if I can find it in my heart to praise God when I'm in pain. How many of you have been able to sing praises to God when you had severe toothache that kept you awake all night? You were praying, oh, thank you, Lord, because you are a good God. How many of you have managed to do that? We pray, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. We keep taking painkiller and doing everything. Paul and Silas started to praise God. But I'm talking about opening our situation to God. The Bible, as they started to pray, praise God, the Bible says at midnight, the place started to quake. What happened? Heaven came. God came. The power of God broke into that prison because they were praising. I want to tell you, praise always attracts the power of heaven. It opens our situation to God. The Bible says, as they praised God, heaven came. The place started to quake. The Bible says that the prison door broke open. The chains fell off. Not just the prison door for Paul, but all the prisoners who heard the sound of their praise. This is the thing with praising God. When you praise God in your home, that whole vicinity is visited by God. When God comes, everybody around you will know and experience and benefit from God's visitation. If you can learn to praise God at all times, especially in difficult situations, when Paul praised God, God came. God came. They did not have any special ministers to come and pray for them. But in pain, sometimes even to open mouth to sing was painful for them. To move their feet was pain. In pain, when you will be beaten like that, every muscle in your body aches. You try to find a place. I don't know if you've been ever had back pain or leg pain. When you are getting in the bed, you're trying to find a position where you don't feel the pain at all. You position yourself. You try to find it, arrange those pillows in such a way that at least there will be less pain. And when you find that place, you want to rest there. You don't want to move.
Sometimes you want to use the toilet, you are pressed, you are thinking, you're imagining the pain that you have to go through to get to the toilet and how you have to rearrange your body to position it to a place where you are, where the pain is less. For them, singing praise pulled them out of that place where pain was less. So the praise came with pain. As they sang, their head was aching with pain, but they were determined to praise God. They were determined to praise God. For them, what they probably would have been singing was would have been hymns, and most of them would have been the halal praise, the Jewish call it. The Psalms, I think, is from a lot of them is Psalm 113, 100 to 118. It's always talking, it's Psalm that's talking about the goodness of God, praising God. This was what they were probably singing. And the Bible says the place was shaken. The prison door was open. They were set free. They didn't have to know anyone. But all they needed to do was to praise God. So when we are in our situations and things get really tough, are we missing opportunities to invite heaven by not praising? I think we are. We are going to be looking at many ways of opening doors in our lives, doors in our situations for heaven to break in, for the power of God to intervene. But the one I'm sharing today is the power of praise. The key of praise. Haven't you noticed that every time we gather together to worship God, you feel better? You feel the presence of God. You think it's because this is the church? It's because you are praising. Praise attracts God. Praise attracts the hand of God. That's why when we are in a church like this, when we say praise God, I want to encourage you, every single one of you, reach out to God and praise. It doesn't matter how you do it, just do it your own way, as long as you are praising God. If you don't feel like standing to praise God, then sit down and clap your hands. Or if you don't feel like clapping your hands, sing to God. However you want to do it, there is the typical English way of praising, and there is the other kind of English ways, like people like Simeon and Madeline and Jeff and all that. And then there is the African way, and there's the West African way, and there's the West Indies, there's the Indian, and there's the Chinese. You see, the style doesn't matter. How you do it is irrelevant. The key is you are praising. It's who you are praising. Whether it's hymns, whether we clap our hands, whether we dance and we move around, we shout, or we stand still, it's irrelevant. The heart, if the heart is praising God, that is the key. Praise is a door in our lives, a door to our situation, a door to our family, a door to our day, to our place of work, that we open for God to come and intervene. If you learn to praise God each day, you are learning to open that day to God. If you go through each day and every time you just, sometimes my kids, they hear me, out of nowhere, I'll just be saying, I love you, Lord, praise God. I will just be doing, it just comes out because I have learned to meditate on God's word and praise God. I will just be driving or doing something, I just say, praise God, hallelujah. Sometimes I just say, Lord, I love you. And it just breaks out. And in I love you, Lord, there is an opening for God to break in. There is a way. If we can just learn to not just be asking God to do what he's already done, but to open our lives, to allow what God has done to manifest in our lives, to manifest in our offices, to manifest in our families, to manifest in our situations, you will find out that
kingdom living become a reality in every aspect of our lives. God, in His infinite mercies, have equipped us, endowed us with things that will allow us to function in the reality of God's goodness. Things that allows us to experience the power of heaven. Because there are some things that you will go through, you will pray, and God will not take it away. We are Pentecostals. We pray, Lord, take this away. But sometimes He will not take it away, but He will give you grace to go through it and joy in midst of that thing that's not going away. My surname means something that you can, if you cannot push it away, you leave it to live there. You live with it. That's what my son is. So if you can't conquer it, then you just learn to live with it. You got it, but that's what it means. You know, it's a tree that you cannot kill, you know, you can't destroy in the forest where you want to try to make a farm. It's too big to kill. What do? You just farm around it. So I want to tell you, there are some situations in life that will not go away. But God will give you the grace to live with it and enjoy your life to the fullness. One of the ways to do that is praise. There is praise in your house. There will always be the manifest presence of God in your house. If there is praise in your life, there will always be manifest. By manifest presence, I mean God, not just an idea, the evidence, tangible evidence of God's presence that day. You'll be able to hold something or taste something or touch something and say, this is the handiwork of God. When you learn to use your mouth to praise God. Shall we pray? I want to give us time to think about what I've said. So I was speaking to you, some of you had situations, areas that you actually want God's presence to fill and His hand to shape things and move things. And you are looking at it and saying, Lord, I want to be praising You in this area of my life. If it's in your marriage, in your home, if it's your work, if it's in your finances, if it's in your health, your children, or whatever other situations or habits that need to be broken. Thank you that we are able to speak. Thank you that we are able to sing. Thank you that we are able to praise You. We want to develop the habit of praising You in all circumstances. The songwriter wrote, take the shackles off my feet so I can dance. I want to praise You. But Lord, Paul had shackles around his feet. He couldn't dance, but he praised You. Silas was in pain, feet tied for some of the heavy stock there. Opening mouth to sing brought pain, but they were determined to praise. And in praising, Father, Your power visited. Your power came. Lord, we keep praying for power in the church, power in our lives, power in our homes. Help us to use this key to open Your power over our lives. Teach us to be people who learn to praise.
Teach us to praise. As we practice praise every day, it becomes second nature to us that even when things get difficult, we can't help but praise you, because our lives have been transformed to fix our gaze on you. And as we see you, the response is always worship and praise. Father, help us to do this sacrifice, this offering that we can offer, the seed that allows your power to break in. Praise might be not cost us anything, but Lord, praise is an important key to open our life to you. Help us to praise you today. Help us to praise you tomorrow and the day after, and the day after. We pray that your spirit will remind us to keep praising you, not just once a day, but several times a day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.